Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 6, episode 9. And on this week's episode, we are talking about our championship blurs. We're going to talk about winning that championship, that co-championship with Richmond, and what that kind of means for the program leading into now the postseason and our postseason tournament. And then we will be talking about the A-10 tournament in Brooklyn and what that might look like, what to expect, and maybe some like sort of under the radar things to look for there. And we'll also talk about the A-10 awards that were just given out just today. So we will get into all that. But Lou, I hear you have a fan section behind you today. A couple canines that are there cheering you on. So if anyone hears any sort of ruckus in the background, that's just our live fan section just cheering us on. But how you doing?
They're excited to hear that we're co-champions after, again, worst of first. I think they won't hopefully be as loud as what Drew was this past weekend. But I think we're all just overly excited again. That's a program win in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. We can talk about it a little bit, but really the idea that Richmond was playing their game while we were starting our game, and then they lose, you're like, hey, this means something, right? And I think for me as a fan, who again is a recent fan because I only went to school recently, these are just things that show it's a program of consistency. And I think that's crucial, right? That is so crucial, especially after such a tough year. Kind of a punch in the face, right? Or sour taste left in the mouth to make a point like that. It was amazing to really watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly was. So we will get into all that and much more when we come back. So stick with us and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim, Rouse gets it, scores. It's over, it's over. We won the ball game.
Viola
won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. Let's start with the last regular season game, or just the end and what that sort of means for Loyola, beating LaSalle at home.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it first means, is Richmond going to send their net to us? Like that's. What's going on? Are we going to share nets, I guess? That's the real question.
Did you see the interaction on Twitter?
I did. Hats off. Like, who would have thought that any team wants to respond? But let's be honest, they kind of might have called it early.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta kind of own up to it, as we saw some other Twitter people maybe not fully owning up to Twitter in a few days on Rambler Twitter. So for having Richmond themselves own up and be like, yeah, we'll share, in a nice kind of way of comical, was so funny for sure. But what wasn't comical was what a way to end the season, Buck. I think it was definitely a joy and less of a laugh this year.
It really was. Yeah, it was awesome. Like, I think the timing just worked out too. Like, I thought it was so wild that like the one game we play all year, I felt like that was like at a different time. We're an hour and a half later than the start of the Richmond game, so to be able to see how that game was going, and like it not even being close was kind of the wild thing. Like, I checked in at halftime and they were down like, I don't know, 4 or 6 or something. I'm like, okay, like it's gonna be a close game. And then by like 8 minutes to go, I think they were down like 18 or something, and I was like, oh okay, like we actually have a chance to do this thing. Like, you don't even have to stress about this game anymore. So I felt like the day just kind of built on itself, like with that happening, then senior night festivities, then the game. Like, and our game wasn't even like a blowout either. It was a really good game. I think once we kind of built a lead in the second half of 10-ish, it was nice to be able to just kind of sustain that. I don't really think it got to under like 9 again. Our lead didn't drop to under 9 after about a few minutes in the second half, so it was nice. Never like a huge fear, but was just close enough to kind of keep you on the edge of your seat.
I don't know what medicine you're on. I did have a massive fear in the beginning, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
uh And it was just it was funny because it brought me back almost to the UNI game that clinched UNI winning the MVC regular season and us not winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the toughest thing was there was a game that I thought we couldn't control that all of a sudden, oh, wait, it got controlled the way we needed. Oh, my God, let's not mess this up. And just the timing, like you said, right? Because we started after Richmond, you were like, oh, my God, we're not starting off hot. Like, what's going on kind of thing, right? Like, it just didn't seem like, well, LaSalle had a lead for a little bit of the game,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't think I expected us to blow out LaSalle. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just not expecting – I didn't expect LaSalle to halfway through the first half. I think they were up 7 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things that was like, ooh, what are we going to do? And then, like you said, right, we settled in. I do think – I think Scott – mentioned it out in Rambler Sports Network, right? There might have been some nerves with senior night, like totally a possibility, right? It's a very emotional night too. Also nerves with knowing that, I don't know, maybe someone on the bench, like a walk-on, happened to know what's going on in the Richmond game, mm-hmm. right? We don't know. I would love to have been some type of fly on any wall near the players or coaching staff if they knew, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I think once it settled down, we just did what we needed to do, and the job kind of got done and got taken care of. And I think that's a really good sentiment to when we needed it, right? When guys need to step up, the job just had to get done. And I think that is a really good way to end the season, especially going into how things ended up.
Yeah, just like testament to those guys to be able to keep the train on the course or whatever. Like, I think we started, 0 for 7 from 3? And then we're able to come back and finish 7 for 19, which is a totally acceptable three-point percentage. And so they just stayed the course. Like, they were able to win the rebounding battle, win the turnover battle, and end up pulling out the game by 10. Just some really key contributions really quick. But great for Dame to end with a double-double. I believe it was his first one this year. If not, he has only had, like, one or two other ones. And then, obviously, great to see Braden go out on a high note with 10 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Dez had 11. Miles had 10 and 4 and 6 blocks. Got that program record all time with blocks at Loyola. Super excited to see him break it next year when he's back with Loyola. Just some other guys. Like, great to see Tom get in there, get some key minutes. Pat Mwamba, like, he was in there too, so... like seeing all the guys kind of get some action, and especially on their senior nights. And you know, I'll let you who's Victory Cigar. You could talk about the Victory Cigar if you want. The player.
Well, the player itself is a Victory Cigar, and that's again Mr. Smythe.
Mm-hmm.
What a cool thing for sure, right? Again, hasn't had much this year. But again, it being senior night and all, which is still kind of crazy. I feel like he's only a sophomore, but that's not the case. So again, walk on there, Will Smythe. Got in. And I think the biggest thing is to see a Victory Cigar like that on senior night. Like, not a senior, but getting the recognition just to get out there like a senior was really cool. So I think... that's like all the case, right? That mm-hmm. that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
So I think though the biggest thing, like, on things like that, like you mentioned Miles's block. Mm-hmm. I think he was just trying to go for it. 6 blocks. I think someone's aggressively going for it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love to see that. And have him get that record, but. Yeah, so, I mean, just kind of going into, like, what that means. Like, obviously winning a co-championship in the A-10, really cool. I mean, year two, worst to first. I mean, there's so many things you could say. So many, like, monikers. So many, you know, gimmicky, I don't know if it's gimmicky, but phrases, catchphrases, right? But I think, ultimately, it's way more than that, too. What it means for, like, Drew Valentine, right? For him, like, being doubted all of last year, being doubted for the first 3 months of the year, 2 months of the season this year, just a testament to him, to his staff, to, like, the development that he got out of his players this year, Just love to see that. I mean, what it means for a guy like Brayden Norris, who, like, will go down now as one of the best Loyola players of all time. Like, you know, I mean, having him be on so many great teams and have him do this in his last season is just, like, the opposite of a sour taste, right? It's now we'll remember him for what he did this year, like bringing him back, bringing him to a new conference and having some success in year two in the A-10. In addition to his Sweet 16 team and that Arch Madness winning team the next year. So, you know, there's so many great storylines, whether it's Sheldon Edwards, like his first winning season in college basketball. Like,
that one blows my mind. I like when I saw that interview or post game and said he had never had a winning season.
Yeah,
I felt bad for him. Because I was like, damn, I wish we had a winning season last year. But no, a great point there. I love to talk about that.
And like, oh, yeah, gosh. Dez Watson, like, going from Davidson to Loyola, like, transferring within conference and, like, not trying to kick Davidson while they're down. But, like, Davidson had a really bad year. So, like, just affirmation, I'm sure, for him, like, that he made the right decision. Tom Welch, you know, similar to Brayden Norris, right? Like, bringing a team to the A-10 and having success, and his development over five seasons at Loyola has been insane. So, it's just really cool overall, obviously. But I think when you really, like, get down to it, there's so many cool parts of it that make the entire championship as a whole really meaningful, and more so than I think the common fan might realize, or just like an outsider looking in. So yeah, I mean, personally, as a Rambler fan, like, just really trying to enjoy the moment of winning a championship, right? Like, I think as fans, we can always get to that thing of like, well, what's next? What's next? And yeah, like, we'll talk about the A-10 tournament here in a minute, but yeah, I would just say try to enjoy it as best you can. Like, that feeling last year of how not well they did was really, really terrible. So I'm just doing my best to enjoy it.
I think you bring up a great part, right, about, like, before we jump to, like, oh, okay, what does this mean, right? I think this was a big thing for me when talking in the context of Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just want people to not, like, be like, what do you mean by this, right? This now, in my opinion, was fully Drew's team, just mm-hmm. like last year was, right? And I'll preface this, right? Yes, Brayden and Tom were recruited by recruited by Porter, mm-hmm. and Porter played for Porter, right? But everyone else, in my opinion, is a Drew recruit, is a Drew contact with the coaching staff, right? We can't forget about the other coaching staff. So again, the first year, Drew's head coach, he had a great senior leadership, right? There's no denying it. Lucas and everyone here, there, right? Who wouldn't say that team was really talented? But they still need a coach to guide them, and I think that's where Drew brought that intensity, and they shaped a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's team, a whole restart, that's tough. I'm not going to put anything on the roster. This year, I think, though, was like, okay, we had a restart. Now it's like we can mold some things. And this year, really, in my opinion, if I'm Drew, I'm like, look what I can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know what I did wrong, maybe. I know what I can improve on. That, I think, is, and let's be honest, not only is this a young program we're continuing to build since 2018 and since 1986 and since 1963, where I have a program have spurts, but we'd like to continue that for years. This is a young coach. And, right, so this is his third full season as head coach. He's still the youngest head coach, correct me, but I believe he's still the youngest head coach in all of college basketball. So to have a back-to-back season like this, after last season, really shows you, like, okay, you can adjust and it not hold you down. There are programs who will season like this with a young coach, it will just eat at them potentially, right? It could just linger on. And I think that even means more, not only to the players and the seniors that we're sending them off, but to Drew to know how he can kind of recruit, mm-hmm. and also coach, right? Because there were questions I had last year, right? Oh, is the transfer portal the right way to do it? Are fifth-year seniors the way to do it? Granted, we'll probably have less and less of that as COVID years go away. But, like, now kind of using the NIL, using the transfer portal, like, there are so many more, I think, denominators that come into how to factor a team. And to go from a team that was just literally last place in the A-10 and to tie for first, it's a hats off. And again, I think you have to address that like you did, Buck, right? You have to talk about where you came from before you jump ahead to where you want to go, mm-hmm. right? Because, again, some people could say history repeats itself. Some people say past teaches the present. However you want to do it, whatever metaphor you need. I think this is just a really young coach, really learning on the job, and I really like what I see. And I think that's really impressive in your third season to kind of get that feel, right? I don't know how – I would love to know this. I don't know how many coaches in their first year of college coaching go to the NCAA tournament their first year. I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe if you take over for Coach K, that's an automatic. Who knows? But it's really great to see. And I think that's kind of my soapbox for when it comes to the game this past weekend was, like, that meant a lot for me to see because it was like, wow – we are consistently a program. And that's what you want as a fan, as a former student. You just want to see that consistency. And again, hats off to Drew and staff and the players, that guys like Braden, who are committed to the program all his time, right? Braden easily probably could have left last year if he wanted. I don't think he would ever leave Drew's side. I'm not putting that, but I'm just saying, like, right, you build that culture. We can say it a million times. You build that winning is fun mentality, and it just brings back rewards. And I think that's just great to see.
Yeah, just like one little piece about Braden. I still remember the tournament at Arch Madness our last year there, so 2022, after they won, and I was just kind of hanging out, like they're cutting down the nets and all that kind of good stuff. And I just so happened to be by Braden's family, and they came over, or Braden came over to like say, you know, give his parents hugs and whatnot. And someone, I don't know, it seemed like it was like a family friend of theirs, was like, oh yeah, like Braden, like he really loves it. He really likes Drew, huh? Like, this is really special for him. Like, do you think he'd go anywhere else? And I think it was his dad. His dad was like, he will only go where, like, if Drew is here, he will stay here. And in that moment, you know, as a fan, like, I'm like, okay, that's cool, right? Like, that's, I believe it, but it's, you know, on another level, it's like, yeah, but if he has like a great season and he gets offers, like maybe he could go somewhere else. Like, you're just always kind of doubting it. But to see that like play out in this way too, and he actually did stick to his word, or I guess his dad's word, because Braden didn't say those words, but it just is, I don't know, that whole thing's really cool to be able to see that he sticks to his word too, as like a person, right? And even more than just a basketball player. Like, I think that was really important and just a cool moment for me to see, like, come full circle too. Just love Braden to death. And I'm only going to say this once. And we've talked about this a couple times over the years on the podcast, but I still remember when Braden transferred to Loyola and you were like, he's too small. He's too little of a point guard. So I just had to give you a little dig there. You know, can't let you off scot-free. But
no, yeah, I don't think – I think the hesitation was size, and we didn't see him.
So, there's plenty of guys.
I don't know really what to say.
No, I'm just giving you crap.
That's like 5 years ago, so
there's
I appreciate
it. Well, there's plenty of guys that I didn't like either. I'm just giving you crap. Yeah, going into maybe the postseason awards here, overall I think was a very successful postseason for us, or postseason award list for us. We shared our ballot that we voted with 3-Bid League, so we shared that on our Twitter. So if anyone wants to see how we voted, like, we're not going to go through how everything we voted. I'm sure we'll mention it at some point. But, yeah, I mean, I think right off the bat, co-players of the year, Darren Holmes, Jordan King, lots of displeasure or disagreement on Twitter. We did vote for Jordan King, and we're standing by it. Like, obviously, we're not standing here switching our vote. And the one thing like we talked about was I thought they had similar statistical years. Richmond obviously finished first, or got the one seed. That for us is really important. And also how they played head to head. When Richmond played Dayton, first of all, Richmond beat them. But Jordan King played way better than Darren Holmes in that game. Darren Holmes had like 9 points and 6 rebounds. And then obviously we can only go off what we see. Like, we try to watch a lot of games, but I don't think I watched, I probably watched Dayton play like four games this year, and then start to finish, I saw them play us, obviously, and I thought he had a good game against us, but he didn't win the game by himself. So, like, I just didn't think he showed enough for me, at least, to be that, like, overcome the difference in the team record, and his statistical differences weren't all that much more bigger than Jordan's, Jordan King's, for me to vote for him. So, yeah, I don't know if you have anything, any thoughts on that, but that was just kind of where we ended up.
Yeah, I think when we talked about it, I probably was leaning Holmes, but again, it's like when you see competition up against each other, King really stated it. And then here's the thing, right? We even have a little of this history, right? The team who wins it, you kind of be like, well, they won it, right? Like, I'm never a fan of any professional sport giving MVP or anything to a player whose team is a losing team, right? I'm not saying Dayton's a losing team or anything. So there's a little bit of winning, right? Now, I get it, right? Some people are like, well, there are years where guys win maybe Cy Young and they don't have a winning record, and there's all other things, right? So in some sports, winning isn't everything. I think just with all the hype and everything, Dayton was kind of expected to be blow everyone out of the water. I don't think they played like that. I think they played a very good program. I think they played a really good schedule. I think Richmond surprised a lot of people, as much as myself, and I think Jordan King stepped up to that plate. So that's where I'm totally, like, okay with the co. It's funny how we even were going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we were like, oh, you can't pick two people. Well, we're learning. And yeah, we learned that even the A-10 couldn't decide between the two, right? And that's interesting. And I think, Buck, you brought up a good point earlier. With so many teams, there are just so many players, right? And, again, there was, like, with many other categories, they were just so close to call. So, again, hats off to both of them. I think they're both well-deserved. And I think they both did tremendous things for their teams this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just kind of going down the list, stop me if you want to talk about anything. But Defensive Player of the Year, Darren Holmes. Rookie of the Year.
No surprise there.
Yeah, Rookie of the Year, Xavier Brown from St. Joe's. The co.
Yeah, I saw. Did you see Caputo was at GW was saying, why didn't, was it Buchanan?
Buchanan, yeah, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and again, I think on that point, the only thing I would say is, if you're going to do co for almost every other award, I guess you might as well do co. I don't know. It's interesting to me. That's just the one point I'll say on rookie, on a Rookie of the Year for sure.
Yeah, so. I guess, like, I technically, what, St. Joe's is better than George Washington, but, like, for me at least, winning doesn't matter for Rookie of the Year as much. Maybe if there's, like, a tiebreaker, I guess I could look at that, but I don't know. We voted for Buchanan. Like, I thought he was deserving. Then co-most improved players, Rashul Diggins at Massachusetts. And, oh, I don't even know how to say his name. D. Bailey from Richmond. Both, like, definitely had improving seasons. We voted for Des Watson. I wonder if there was some confusion on, like, how that actually works, because then, well, I think the Davidson, one of the Davidson people on Twitter, voted for someone that, like, at 3-Bid League, not in the actual A10 media, whatever. But he voted for someone that just improved over this year. Like, he didn't play last year in the A10. So, I hope there's not that same confusion in the actual vote. Maybe they make it more clear that it has to be someone that was returning from an A10 program. But I guess you could even say, like, does Des Watson actually qualify? Because he didn't play on the same team for 2 years. So, yeah, thought Des Watson deserved it.
Yeah, that's an interesting. Yeah, that's actually. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's just.
I hope they, like, actually define it for the A10, like, in the actual vote. Like, whatever. I don't know. Maybe at some point they'll release that and we could actually know how they vote. But those two guys, I think, were deserving, but we felt like Des Watson was more deserving. Sixth Man of the Year, Kobe Brea from Dayton. Definitely, we were going back and forth between him and Bazmeal from VCU. So I thought he was deserving, but we ended up going with Joe from VCU. Coach of the Year, Chris Mooney, Richmond. We voted for our guy, Drew. I don't know if there's a ton to say here, but, like, I obviously really respect what what Chris Mooney has done, especially, like, overcoming his health issues from the past year, and winning when you're picked 11th in the poll is very impressive. But I just thought that worst to first was a little bit cooler, not cooler, but more impressive, and just a testament to what Drew has been able to do in developing his players this year. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think the only thing there for me, not only, again, this is the bias of history, but you finished technically ahead of Loyola. So usually that's where, again, MVC tradition, that's how it always went. Granted, right, I think MVC even did not see the first place team end up winning it, but whatever. When it comes to A-10, the biggest thing that I learned today, Richmond's first ever regular season A-10. Mm-hmm. So that was like, oh, I wonder if anyone thought of, like, took that into consideration, because they did win the conference tournament, 2 years ago, but they had never won a regular season. So, again, just like Loyola, though, they were expected to finish pretty far back. So, again, they improved many standards. I do think the worst of first is a very different achievement, and I think that could have taken over Mooney. But, again, they came in first. That's just what it is, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All-conference first team, Darren Holmes, Josh Cohen from UMass, Matt Cross from UMass, Jordan King from Richmond, Eric Reynolds from St. Joe's, and Max Shulga from VCU. Don't think we have really any gripes there. Maybe the one surprising name that's on second team instead of first team is Keyshawn Hall from George Mason. I don't really think we have the time to get into his whole thing, but if you're interested in it, there's lots of stuff on Twitter. Just search, like, Keyshawn Hall missing or Keyshawn Hall sitting out, and you'll find lots of opinions that are way smarter than us about it, especially people who know what's going on at George Mason. Which leads us to the all-conference second team. Jimmy Clark III from Duquesne, Day-Day Grant from Duquesne, Keyshawn Hall from George Mason, our guy Des Watson, Neil Quinn from Richmond, and Chad Venning from the Bonnies. I think we put it on our Twitter too that Chad Venning was one that we were really trying to go back and forth between second and third team. Also super excited. I really like Neil Quinn. He didn't make our all-conference teams, but we did vote for him in Glue Guy of the Year, which is something that 3Bid League does. So we both really respect his game and like him as a player, and I think it's really cool that he got some notoriety. And then third team all-conference, Nate Santos from Dayton, James Bishop IV from George Washington, Jameer Brickus from LaSalle, two of our guys, Phil Alston and Braden Norris, and then Gibson Jimerson from St. Louis. James Bishop on third team is wild to me. Like, I know that George Washington was bad, but
that's what I was wondering, if that's what plays, like, into it, and it's kind of more annoying than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, like, the only, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, this, he nearly put up 20 points a game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I don't know how many assists per game he had, maybe like that, but, like, still. And that's the thing. It's like, yeah, scoring does kind of take a big, like, he scored the third most points, averaged the third most. Like, it's just, you would expect even a second team. I did not expect third team. So yeah, that one surprised me. Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised, honestly, with was it Cohen making, or not Cohen? Sorry, Cross making the first team, just because of the time he was out.
Yeah.
Right now, again, I know he was only out for a few games, but I was like, oh, I thought that would, like, knock him down, right? Not knock him as, like, just like, oh, hey, didn't play all the time, right? So interesting for sure. Mm-hmm. I think Neil Quinn, like, nothing wrong with him being there, just like surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, again, I would have been intrigued if we finished first, but again, even look at Richmond, they only have two guys on any of these three teams. But for us to have three players, I believe the most. No, am I reading this right?
That we had three. Oh.
Yeah, I think we're the most by school. Yeah, St. Louis 1, Loyola 3, LaSalle
1. Yeah, definitely Washington more than... 1,
Dayton 2.
Yeah.
Duquesne has 2. Yeah, we're the most. So, and the reason why I get to it is I'm like, well, where's Dame? Right? And again, this is like one of those things where I would love to have seen all the voting for like Sixth Man of the Year, because even Dame was something on my list. So, but again, to see Phil there, definitely hats off and definitely a tip of the cap. I think that was just a surprise. Again, they went six in every category, and we talked about it already, but there are just so many teams and so many players, and even with six, some guys are going to get shifted around, which is just so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Phil kind of maybe benefited from having two good years in the A-10. Like, you know, after last year, like, he was our best player, I think, last year. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think the A-10 kind of got that, like, who he was as a player. And besides, like, his three-point shooting this year, pretty much everything was the same. Like, even if he would have made, you know, one more three a game, like, his numbers would have been very, very similar to what they were last year. So I think he benefited a little bit from just, like, oh, we know who this is. He had a good year that last year, and Loyola was good this year. So maybe that's how he's there. Just because, yeah, we didn't vote for him. So, I mean, I think that says, like, all that needs to be said about how we felt about it, especially being, like, homers and stuff. There were a lot of very good players in the A-10, a lot of players that had some really impressive years. So, but obviously still extremely excited to see that he's on there, especially in his senior campaign, too. Moving to... all-academic team, we don't have to go through the names, but great to see Braden being a good student and a good player. Really happy for him that he made all-academic team. And then the all-defensive team, Darren Holmes, Jimmy Clark III, Kyle Rose from Fordham, Batunde Akingbola. I think I actually hit that
look
one.
Look at you. Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
From George Washington. And then our guy, Miles Rubin. That's awesome. Pretty honestly, I was surprised. I know you said you weren't as surprised, but I always think of, like, for defensive team, like, that you need to earn that respect of, like, being a good defender. But I think Miles is just, like, wow factor of him setting the program record in blocks. Just that he really changes the game when he's in there and able to alter shots. So I think that just kind of gave him the edge, but I was curious what you thought about Miles getting all defense team.
Yeah, honestly, I just made a mistake. Him and Abdu on Fordham both averaged 2.3, but Miles beat him out by two blocks. So I was like, oh, okay, that makes it simple for me. So that one, I think the blocks category. Something that was just, honestly, that has been a struggle for me is how do you quantify defense?
Mm-hmm.
Is it steals? Is it blocks? We talked about this. I'm also considering, is defensive rebounds that big of a thing on defense, right? You stop your opponent from getting an offensive rebound, mm-hmm. right? Is that part of the game? Right? So, like, yeah, I think Miles, not only is it flash, not only is it also just it's not just flash. It's actually skill that Miles has. I don't know how you properly calculate it, but again, the block percentage, Miles leads the country that everyone keeps tweeting out. I would love to know how we're talking about when's a block and when's not a block. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things that's like, it might be hard for me to vote for just because also I don't want to show bias, but definitely well-deserving. So, hats off for sure. Maybe one day someone will describe to me every defensive stat. I feel like it's almost like an offensive lineman in football. Like, how do you what are their stats? So
yeah, I wonder if it's like the percentage of possessions when you're on the floor that end in your block, but that just seems like very high. I know he didn't play a ton of minutes.
Like, we might just need to call KenPom.
Yeah.
And just be like, okay, what's the defensive efficiency? How do I do this? So
yeah.
that might be our star to call for.
Yeah. But yeah, then going to the all-rookie team, just to wrap things up, Baraka Okoji mm-hmm. from George Mason, Darren Buchanan from George Washington, Miles Rubin from Loyola, Jalen Curry from UMass, and Xavier Brown from St. Joe's. Again, just super excited for Miles. there were a lot of really good freshmen or rookies, as they classify them. So,
100%.
Like, this, I really struggled. Like, we weren't going to put him on our list. Like, there were probably 8, if not 9 names that I was like, okay, they all deserve it. Like, there's 9 guys in the A-10 that deserve to be all rookie. How do you decide between, you know, a guy, one of the guys from Rhode Island, I think it's like Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S. He was averaging 8.6 rebounds and like a block and a half a game. Like, that's, if you're just looking at pure numbers, like, that's better than Miles' stat line. But then you, I guess, like, some other voters are taking into account, like, if they voted him for all defensive team, then you're saying he's one of the best 5 defenders in your league. Like, that probably helps him.
Then he better be.
Yeah, on the all-rookie team. So,
which almost had me question, would he not have been on a third team? But, you know, he yeah. But
yeah.
Not
something
everyone who's on
the
all-defensive team is on.
Yeah, something to strive
exactly,
for.
Exactly. No, but yeah. The rookies, freshmen, however you want to phrase it, so many there. Even I took off Jalen Curry at the end because I was just like, I'm not sure, right? I just didn't like, I don't know. But then it's like, well, do you only give it to teams that are winning? Like, that whole thing again. So, again, it's very tough. We also don't want to show biasy, right? So, mm-hmm. But it's like, hey, also some guys are just maybe just deserving. So, yeah, it's a very, again, I think awards that are not just outright player of the year, right? When it comes to teams, it's really hard sometimes to quantify it just down to a single box score.
Mm-hmm.
But again, happy to see Miles there for sure, and congrats to the other guys. But I'm very ecstatic that this comes off the heels of Miles also winning his first Rookie of the Week,
mm-hmm.
And his last Rookie of the Week ever, and then being on the rookie team. I'm like just very excited for what's to come. So hats off to Miles there. And the rest of the guys from Loyola on their awards.
Miles definitely picked a good week to have a good week. For sure.
I wonder. That'd be very interesting if anyone kind of that's...
It's definitely... Like, again, that I mean, it can't hurt. Like, recency bias. Like, you know, it's hard to...
Yeah,
try to, like, weigh it all. Like, okay, well, I know he's been really good recently. Like, it just... I think it's hard to ignore that he had his best week in the last week of the year.
Yeah, I think honestly, when you have those highlights of blocks, and then all of a sudden recently you just put up other things that are outside of your normal blocks, I think that's just great. So again, we'll be talking about this for a lot more years, hopefully. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, so that kind of wraps up the awards portion of the pod. Just kind of briefly want to talk about the tournament. The A-10 tournament in Brooklyn. We're recording this on Tuesday, so already 3 games have gone final, but we'll just kind of carry on from there. Our Ramblers got the 2nd seed in the tournament after being the 15 seed last year. Big deal. I mean, some of the things we talked about throughout the season is trying to get a bye, and then once you realize, oh, we're winning a few games, okay, like then go try to strive for that double bye. And, you know, I think maybe not more than ever, but this year having the double bye, I mean, like, it's always really helpful. But, you know, even a team like VCU and how good we know they are, they don't even have a double bye, right? They're the 5th seed. And I do think that will hurt teams who didn't get that double bye. It just makes it that much harder to win 4 or 5 games in a matter of 5 or 6 days. Whereas our guys only have to win 3 games in 4 days. So, you know, still a lot easier or harder than it sounds. But so we will be matched up against the winner of St. Bonaventure and LaSalle coming up here on Thursday. But I think right now it's an interesting tournament because Dayton is actually the favorite to win it all. Just saw, I think it wasn't KenPom, but it was another one of the statistical sites that puts out the, the tournament predictions. And it said that Dayton has about a 40% chance of winning the tournament. And then I think Richmond had like 15% chance, and then us and UMass have like a 10% chance or something to that regard. But Dayton, even being the number 3 seed, is still the, I would say, heavy favorite. Which, you know, is
whatever. I don't know. I know they had a really good start to the year, but I think when it comes to postseason, it really is how you're playing recently. And I think we actually have a pretty good... We had a really good end of the season besides the bump on the road at St. Bonnie's. And so I think we're looking in pretty good shape for that. But yeah, I don't know if you had any kind of thoughts before we get into like actual matchups, just about maybe what you're looking toward or our road to potentially winning a A-10 championship.
Yeah, I think ultimately... one, right, there's that elephant in the room of if Bonnies continue, right, they end up playing us. Mm-hmm. They have our most recent loss, so I think that will be a wake-up call for us. And then for kind of a quickly small look ahead, which I'm just going to do to one round, the road most likely, based off statistics, would be the lead through Dayton. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, oh, yeah, that's an easy one right there. We already beat them. Yeah, beat them a team twice as hard, losing it. Like, it is hard to beat a team back-to-back within that short of a span, potentially, right? Also, a team that is still ranked number 24 in the country, right? So, do I think we know what our strengths and weaknesses are? Yeah. But, again, before we look too far ahead, again, I think Bonnie's, in my opinion, is still kind of on my target board if they make it through, because they have our number last time out. And I'd be really surprised there. So, yeah, we already saw one underdog win today, right? And that's SLU beating Rhode Island. And I think, again, one game went to OT. So I'm expecting to see some similarities like that, right? You mentioned VCU being a 5 seed. I could see them making a little bit of a run. And I can definitely see potentially some games going to OT for sure. So I think when it comes to Loyola, utilize these days off, right? What we finished on the Saturday last year as well, and then went right into Tuesday. We had to play, and luckily we were actually already in Philly at LaSalle, so I wasn't with the team, but I'm assuming they just took the train up or bus up or something. But then you got to just quickly get ready for your mindset, like this could be your last game, and you got to win, and you're in. So now I think utilize the days off and again, still gum that win to get in mentality and we'll see what comes.
Yeah. Like you said, our road kind of goes through Dayton. They'll either play Duquesne or St. Louis. As much as I like upsets, I do think Duquesne's going to end up winning that game. But other than that, I really think that any of the other games could go either way. We obviously just played LaSalle, and they're a good team with multiple scoring options that could for sure upset St. Bonaventure. Even the Fordham-VCU game, I think, might be the best game of the day. Like, I like how those teams match up against each other. I think that'll be, like, a fun kind of conflict of play styles and with VCU trying to D you up and Fordham just trying to score as much as they can. So I think that'll be a fun game. And then Mason and St. Joe's, I think that'll be a solid game too. I think Mason probably has a slight edge there. I think they've played solid all year, but then if like kind of one of the things we briefly mentioned earlier with Keyshawn Hall, again, like I don't know all the details, but their best player might not play. So, you know, I think that's something to watch as well. But then, didn't the format change, right? Because then now there's the off day on Friday, wasn't it? Before the off day was on a different day, or am I misremembering?
We're the only conference that has an off day.
But was the off day on Friday last season too?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
yes. We were. It was. Yeah, last year was the first year implementing the off day.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. But yeah, so I mean, I still think that's important. I mean, I know it's kind of weird, like, as a fan, like, viewing, and if you're traveling to Brooklyn, like, that obviously does kind of suck, but for the teams, at least, like, just from a coaching side of it, to be able to, hopefully, you know, we win our game on Thursday, and then it's not all that different from a lot of other game weeks. Like, you have a whole day of prep, which is really key, or, like, I'm sure they'll all be prepping that night, and then you're able to go through your scout the next day. and kind of treat it like a normal game. So I, at least from that side of things, I get it. Like I'm sure the coaching staffs appreciate it. The fans probably don't appreciate it as much, but, yeah. So if we were to win that game, then going in, to the semifinals, we're going to play the winner of either Dayton or probably Duquesne. And then, yeah, then the championship would be on Sunday, at 1 o'clock on CBS. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you have any like big thoughts. I was just going to kind of get into like what I thought about, like, I do think getting to the championship game is realistic. Like, I think that's a realistic expectation for this team. It's really hard to sit and say like, we should win a championship just because it's March. Anything can happen. And the right guy gets hot, the right team gets hot, and truly, like, I think almost any team that's still in it can still win the A-10 championship. Yeah, I think realistically getting to the championship game is going to be a big deal. Beating Dayton again is a huge deal, if that's who we end up matching up against. And then if we get to the championship, you know, it being either like Richmond or potentially VCU or something, like, that could be a revenge game for us too. So I just do really like the way this sets up. Would I have liked to meet Dayton in the championship rather than the semis? Maybe. But winning that game against them, I think, probably gives us a little bit more confidence in playing them again. So, yeah, I don't know if you have any other thoughts, but go for it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, no. I think Thursday's game means a lot more to the program than people might realize. I almost flash back to MVC tournament in 2020. So yeah, a COVID year. Even though it was COVID year, we lost to Valpo in overtime the first round. We were the 2 seed. So very, very similar situation in my opinion. 2 seed. Also 13-5 in conference, so even more significant. So I could be jinxing us for all I know right now. So I'm going to knock on wood and say a few things. But I think the biggest reason why I say that is because I look for this win as potentially something that clarifies us, maybe going to an NIT, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone who has been paying attention would disagree with, if we don't win the tournament, we are not in the NCAA tournament. That is just the formula, the way things go, right? Mm-hmm. You have to win these 3 games for us to even be considered, but you automatically get in, right? That's just how our net ranking has gone. That's just how our non-con was, right? We are just not in that position to guarantee an at-large like maybe in other previous years with a strong schedule. So I think this could not only showcase that we get to be put on a bigger stage, the 1 game closer to the final on Sunday if we get to Saturday. But also, I honestly am looking at, like, this win notches in another confidence of, like, hey, we can get a win and we get it through. Because, again, we technically haven't won our first conference game at the A-10. So how about we look at that, right? Before maybe jumping to winning 2 games or winning the tournament, right? Let's get our first win in a conference tournament game at A-10. And I think those are things, right, that, like, you check off those little boxes, like we did this year. We checked off a box. We've shared a regular season title. I'm also kind of confused now that the NIT rules, a sharing of a title, I don't even think would have guaranteed an NIT. But luckily for us, NIT doesn't guarantee anyone who wins a regular season anymore. So, I think the game on Thursday is my big focus, as much as even if we make it a Saturday or Sunday. I think getting over that hump of that first game on Thursday, especially with 2 days off, is something that I really look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to take it one day at a time. That's all it can come down to. And I think these guys are ready and locked in, and having some guys that have won championships before on the team, I'm sure, is a big help for some of the younger guys or transfers who might not have won a conference tournament before. So, it's going to be fun. I'm excited. Like, I'm going to try to watch some of the games tomorrow, as many as I can, just to see, especially that Bonnie's and LaSalle game, to see how they're looking heading into the next round against us. But, yeah, this year, I mean, it's been fun. I don't think it's anywhere near ending. I think we still got some history to make, but it's been fun. And like I kind of mentioned earlier, just enjoy it. I think everyone needs to try to enjoy the championship and have fun with it. And let's go get three more wins and then move on from there. And then you're just playing with house money at that point. So, yeah, Lou, any other thoughts about the tournament and beyond?
Just one game at a time, I think, is, like you said, is the best way to look at it.
Sounds good. Yeah, well, thank you all for listening. We will, you know, as long as we're still playing, we'll have more episodes. I'm hoping another one next week, and we can talk about then where we're playing after that. So thank you all for listening, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.